Smiths and Praise Band, thank you so much for leading us in worship today. How appropriate the words that we have sung to where we're heading today as well. I think it'd be all right to let's offer up a little praise for how the Lord has used our praise band today. Thank you so very much. We appreciate you always, all the effort and the work that you put in every week in order to be able to come and lead us in worship, recognizing that we have an audience of one, that we are bringing worship to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you take your Bibles and you open the very middle of it, you'll be right around Psalm 23. If you open up your cell phone the very middle of it, I have no idea where you'll be. But Psalm 23 is where we are today. If you would help us and find that today, I'd love for you to read along with us. Keep that open. We are making our way through the Psalms. We're not doing all 150 Psalms, but some select Psalms along the way. But how could you do a series called Let's Get Personal? Actually, we're kind of discovering Jesus in the Psalms. And one of those that will help us to be able to do that, how could we not do a series of Psalms and not look at Psalm 23? But thank you for being here today on your Labor Day weekend. Appreciate you coming in, being a part of the worship today. And we're glad that you are here. Thank you for last week. If we could just take just a moment. We had Hay Day at Parkway last week and had a great group, great crowd here. Lots of guests, lots of visitors, lots of you put in effort as far as bringing food for Hay Day Marketplace Food Court that we did, Christian Life Center. You invited others, so appreciate that. And so we just want to kind of keep that pace always of great fellowship. As we, this is actually first Sunday of our new church year, and church calendar year begins in September, and keep the pace of not only fellowship, but also inviting others. We have guests who are here today as well, every Sunday, every service, both early and second service. We always have guests as well, so we're glad that you're here, and always with a central location of God's Word. Thank you if you're here. Thank you for being nice to Dr. Smith. It was his very first sermon that he ever preached. You know that it wasn't, of course, and we appreciate that. But thank you also for coming, being a part today. Psalm 23 is our text today, this familiar psalm. We've sung about it. You've heard the words. You know, but we're going to read it today in praise and thanksgiving. Let's do it now. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me, the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word today. In my more saintly moments, when I think about the Lord as my shepherd, I think about green meadows, rolling hills, babbling brooks, perfect sheep where there are no problems. In my more secular moment, when I think about the shepherd and the sheep, I think about a Bugs Bunny cartoon. I really can't help it, but I'm just sharing with you that maybe that comes up. Maybe you know the one. It's the one to where there is the wolf and the sheep dog, and they come to work every day with their lunch boxes, and they clock in like they're going to work. Anybody, this is back kids when they had, when you could watch any cartoon and your parents wouldn't have to worry about it. But they always speak to one another before the day would begin. They say, "Hello, Ralph. Hello, Frank." And the rest of the cartoon would be the wolf going after the sheep dog stopping. Sometimes the wolf would dress up as the sheep. Now, but understand that the sheep dog would always outfox the wolf, some pun intended. It was kind of like the coyote and the roadrunner, you understand. Coyote always be after the roadrunner. The coyote's never going to get the roadrunner, and the wolf's never going to get the sheep. Now, problem is, that's in cartoon world. But in real world, we understand that sometimes it's not always that way. The wolf sometimes get the sheep. Coyote sometimes went out. Paul tells the church, by the way, in Acts chapter 20, he says, "Savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock." It's the world we live in, God help us all. Unless the Lord is my shepherd. Now, in the Bible, the Lord is described as the good shepherd who owns, cares for, and knows the sheep. He's our spiritual protector no matter what. Physically, we may be devastated, but God always provides and always gives encouragement and direction. If there's a pinnacle to the 150 Psalms in the Bible, this is it. David didn't write all the Psalms. He wrote this Psalm. He writes about 73 that we know of, not quite half of the 150 of the Psalms are in the Bible. A couple of Psalms are anonymous, and he may have written some of those. He had a worship leader by the name of Asaph, and the Lord directed him to write some of the songs. So about 12 of those are from Asaph under David's request. But David's best work are these six verses, often first memorized by preschoolers and school children, and often the what last requested by those who have gone to be with the Lord. Of all the writings ever in history of literature, poetry, and song, this is among the greatest ever written. We sang two or three songs about this song today. Six verses written 3,000 years ago, still relevant for today for teaching truth and encouragement to all generations. Take just a moment and thank the Lord for this song and for their nature of God that is described here, the truth that is given to us about His love for us. My fear of this is that I cannot do it justice today because of its familiarity and because of its greatness. Now, to hear what Dr. Smith Jr. would do with this particular text and how he would give exposition and application to us today would probably be no problem, but he's not here today. And you've got me. And we do understand today that you've got me, and I'm much more probably like Barney Fife than Robert Smith Jr. when it comes to preaching the Word. But you're here today, and we have invited the Holy Spirit to come and help us in our journey through the Scripture, and particularly to help us with our Scripture and our text here for today. So I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to put on your holy hiking boots as we take this particular journey today, or you might just want to take your shoes off as well because we're on holy ground today with this Scripture, as we are with all Scripture. And let us take a spiritual hike through the path of Psalm 23 with the idea that the journey itself will be fascinating like a nature walk through the forest, but with anticipation, as if we're about to discover at the end of our journey a celestial waterfall. There will be purpose in our journey. There will be prize that we find. There might even be surprise for some as we complete the expedition. Who will be our leader for this expedition? Well, we've already sung about it today. We've read about it today. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. He is out in front. And our first observation to help us to be able to know God's good plan for our life, if He is our shepherd, where He's going to lead us. You've got some notes there maybe to help you with today as well. But our first observation, that if the Lord is my shepherd, I will not turn away. If the Lord is my shepherd, I will not turn away. A shepherd leads from the front. He cares for the sheep, guides us in ways in which we need to go because there are things that sheep do not know. In John 10, we know that Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. In Hebrews chapter 13, He's called the Great Shepherd. And it's okay, and I'm giving you permission today that as you look at the shepherd that is in Psalm 23, that it is the Lord Jesus Christ that we are looking at today. For we are told, as David writes this psalm and he uses the word our Lord, he uses, you might notice in your translation, it's a capital L that's a little bit larger than the ORD, but all four letters are capitalized, which is a translation of the Yahweh God, the I Am God, used many places in the Old Testament. Maybe most famous would be the one where Moses talked to God out of the burning bush, or God talked to Moses. Moses asked, "Who shall I say sent me?" And he said, "I am that I am." He is the Yahweh God. Well, Jesus made it clear in the New Testament as He came that He is the I Am God. He is the one who's come in the flesh. And He said in John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, in a place that talks about Jesus being the good shepherd, He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Surely by the time David writes Psalm 23, he is an older man. This is not the first psalm that he has written. This is not his first rodeo. He's gone through many, many things in life, seen lots of victories that the Lord has given him, has gone well through many trials. He stood toe-to-toe with Goliath. He fled from King Saul, who flung a spear at him twice, and David barely escaped his life. Battled countless Philistines, and God has given him victory after victory. He was the greatest king of Israel in the Old Testament, yet he did succumb to temptation, and he felt God's displeasure, but also God's forgiveness. He had to experience tragic loss and family conflict that resulted in a coup where the kingdom and the government was taken over for a time by one of his sons. In Psalm 22, David writes, and we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, he is the saving king. In Psalm 24, the one right after this, he talks and he says that he is the glorified king. In between these two psalms, David writes, I believe, his greatest piece of literature, his greatest poem and song, and he writes he is the shepherd king. But he says, he doesn't say not that he's a shepherd, not that he's the shepherd, but my shepherd. And you can be sure that every sheep has a shepherd. And we can't have more than one shepherd. We can try sometimes to have two, but as we're told in the Bible, we've probably discovered ourselves that we cannot serve and follow more than one. And if Jesus is your shepherd, you will not turn away off the path he has for you. I'm going to give you permission, if you've got your notes there today, that you can also write along, if the Lord is my shepherd, I will not turn away very far or for very long. Now I'm going to let you know why that is true from Scripture, but for now I'm just going to ask you, or as David testified, or as we even sung about earlier, why would you want to turn away? For he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. One of your translations says, for the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. Or as a child once misquoted Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, what more shall I want? So let's stay on the pathway he has for us no matter what. Can you think of any examples of those who stayed on the pathway no matter what? It was in one of the songs that we sang earlier. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were told they were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace if they did not recant their faith in God. This is their answer in Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. It says, if this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we still will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. I put in the word still. Well, we know what happened in that story. They did not bow down to the golden image. They were put into the fiery furnace. And when the king looked into the fiery furnace, he saw not three, but he saw four, one like the Son of God or the Son of Man. I submit to you that Jesus was in the furnace with them, and they were not burned. Martin Luther, looking for examples of those who stood. Martin Luther, the great reformer, courageously stood before Charles V, the Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, and all the princes of Europe at the Diet of Worms in 1521, and he was asked to answer the charges of heresy. He was asked, do you or do you not repudiate your books and the errors in which they contain? This humble Augustinian monk, the son of a miner, standing before the emperor and the princes of Europe, standing there where the only thing to rely on was his faith in a holy God and in Holy Scripture, he replied, since your majesty and your lordship desire a simple reply, I will answer. Unless I am convicted of Scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of popes and councils, for they contradict each other. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither safe nor right. God, help me, here I stand, and I can do no other. Well, if God is my shepherd, he can heal me. But even if he doesn't, I will follow him. If God is my shepherd, he's able to heal all of my family woes. But even if it does not happen, I will not turn away. If God is my shepherd, he's able to help me with all of my financial problems. But even if he doesn't, I still will follow him. If God is my shepherd, he will take away all of my grief. But even if my grief continues to linger, I will not turn away. If God is my shepherd, he's able to answer all of my prayers, particularly in the ways in which I think is best. But if he doesn't, or even if God seems to be silent for a time, I still will follow him. If the Lord is my shepherd, I will not turn away, certainly not very far, and not very long. Well, let's hike around the next part of the trail, can we? For the Lord is my shepherd, I will redefine abundant living. If the Lord is my shepherd, I will redefine abundant living. Long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, Ronald Reagan was asked by Johnny Carson in his interview, there's some blast for the past, why the people in America were so confused and low and down on the government. Governor Reagan at that time, maybe he was running for president at the time, but Governor Reagan said, first of all, people keep looking to the government for the answer. Government is not the answer. Government is the problem. But if the American people would take a little inventory and look around, you triple our troubles and we're better off than any other people on earth. Well, it still may be true today, at least partially, but maybe we better take a little inventory and look around. For what and who you are in Jesus is better than anything that this world has to offer. And what you consider or define as abundant living needs to be the same for everyone, everywhere who turns to Jesus, no matter what their status, whether they're living in America or anywhere else on earth. Green pastures and still waters must have little to do with health or finances or accumulation of wealth or success in business. Now, let's be careful today, because today you could turn on the television, you could go online, you could go to another church today where a preacher is preaching to a whole lot more people than I am today, and they'll tell you that this is the definition of abundant living, and it does have something to do with health and wealth. But you know, in the same chapter where Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice and follow me," Jesus also said in John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I come so that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly." Now, before you dismiss that verse and say, "Yeah, but that doesn't really mean what we hope that it would mean," or "it's just spiritual abundance," with an emphasis on the just, today on our journey, on our hike together through Psalm 23, hopefully before you leave today that you will have an understanding, we'll all be convinced that abundant living with Jesus is great, far greater than what is in this world or what this world has to offer. And we'll be pleading with the Lord, please don't give us just success in this world, but instead, give us that a gift that is from you and all that the Lord has in mind. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, "However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." Abundant living is defined in Psalm 23 in green pastures. We're able to lie down in green pastures beside the still waters. And even in the dark valley, even down in the valley, you are with me, David writes. It's described in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, to where it says, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." I often use this in order to talk about once saved, always saved. That once you come into the family of God, there's no way to get out of the family of God. You want to be there, and he's always going to be, our Father's always going to be our Heavenly Father. Jesus will always be your Savior. And while that is true, that often also gives us confidence for living. Are you holding on to Jesus? Well, that's a great thing. But it's even greater to know, and he's got much tighter grip than you do, he's holding on to you. In Psalm 23 and verse 3 that we read a moment ago, Psalm 23 and verse 3, it says, "He restores my soul." You and I have a need for restoration. When we're broken, we need mending. Wealth and accumulation of wealth will not do that. Government or the right person of government will not do that. The shepherd, Lord King, restores. Not only the blood of Jesus makes us righteous, and he leads us along the righteous path, not the self-righteous path. And in case we forget, we're reminded, for his name's sake. In other words, this is in his character. This also brings him glory. We redefine abundant living by taking the spotlight off of self and putting it on Jesus. And this is the central message of this psalm and our focus today. In the green pastures or in the dark valley, he is your shepherd king, and he will never leave you, but he will guide you along the path of righteousness so that you might be able to live a life that shines for him. Can I pull you up to another plateau in our journey through Psalm 23? And it's this: if the Lord is my shepherd, I will not fear worry or worry about fear. If the Lord is my shepherd, I will not fear worry or worry about fear. It may be that Christians are more apt to emotional depression and anxiety problems than the non-Christians. Now, I don't have any stats really to back that up, you understand. And I'm not saying that all of us do, but this psalm, if it's true, this psalm will help us. And I say this of why we'd be more apt, because we know as Christians that we're not to fear, we're not to worry, we're not to be anxious. But because we're made of flesh and bones, even with Jesus, we experience all those feelings. And if we're not careful, if we have a misunderstanding about the nature of God or the Scripture, we just feel guilty about how we feel as believers. We worry about our worry. We make it a double whammy. We fear about all our fears because we know we're not supposed to. But consider this. Why do you think it says so many times in the Bible, do not fear, do not be anxious, do not worry? Because the Lord knew that we were going to do those things. Now, some of you might not. Some of you might be more saintly, but most of us who are normal people of flesh and blood often do. A couple of weeks ago, we talked on one of our Wednesday night studies that are topical. We talked about angels. We didn't say this in our study on angels, but I would bet you that if angels go to angel school the very first day they teach you. Now, if a human sees you, the very first thing that you're supposed to say is, fear not. Because, think about, this is what the angel said to Mary and to Joseph and to Zechariah and remember the shepherds, fear not, because I bring you good news of great joy, because humans are going to be fearful. Psalm 23 and verse 4, we read it again. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This could mean, if the Lord is my shepherd, I will not fear. But it could also mean, if the Lord is my shepherd, he will help me to overcome my fears. What does the New Testament say? Do not worry about anything, but pray about everything. What will you do with your fears? Well, we're told here that I will not fear evil or the evil one, because the Lord is with you. So we need to remember that the Lord is with us, and we need to pray for the Lord's help. Now, the Good Shepherd, he's leading us on our journey today. You picture him as the shepherd. He's out in front of us as we're taking our hike through Psalm 23. What do you see in his hands? Well, we see it, we read it, and we sang about it. He's got that rod and staff in his hands. Got a rod in one hand, staff in the other hand. He's got a club. He's going to protect you. Take care of any enemy that comes your way. He's got a staff or a shepherd's crook, so that when you get off the path, he might gently pull you back onto the path again. Do not fear or do not despise the Lord's discipline. But sometimes you all just say, thank you, Lord. I needed that. Please, believers, don't throw guilt or worry on top of your fears and worry. Look and see Jesus as the Good Shepherd. He's taken that pathway before us. And because of that, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, says, there is therefore no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Jesus is not condemning you for how you feel, so you don't do it. But being an all-out pursuit to be able to follow Jesus wherever he's leading you, be in pursuit by being in his word and seeking to be faithful and obedient. David is the writer of this familiar song, and as a shepherd, he knew the land of Palestine well. A shepherd would normally take the safest route in order to get the sheep where they needed to go, to be able to graze where they needed to be, but sometimes valleys could not be avoided, and sometimes dark places or canyons, and this would be the place that where maybe the wild animals would be ready to attack the sheep. Thus is the journey through life. Jesus seeks to lead us along safe paths, but there are certain paths and valleys that hold real danger to where he must take us. And there we have Satan and temptations and things of this world that lie in waiting. You might remember that Jesus said, man, we've used this verse a whole lot since 2020 and COVID, where it says, in this world you have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Because Jesus has never taken you to a place to where he cannot care for you and to where he can bring purpose in the trials or whatever it is that you're facing. Even death, often used by the enemy, sometimes facing death, sometimes the death of a loved one, sometimes it's used to bring defeat. But praise God, Jesus passed through the valley of death before us. He walked the path to Calvary, carrying the sinner's cross for all those who put their faith in him. And David, this kind of shepherd, he talked about how he protected the sheep with God's help before he fought Goliath. This same Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. So sometimes you might just need to pray, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I'm worried. Can you help me? I'm fearful. I'm anxious. Help me to believe more. So we also observe in our journey today, if the Lord is my shepherd, I will be pursued. If the Lord is my shepherd, I will be pursued. So if the Lord is your shepherd, you're following him, you're going through a valley, even the valley of the shadow of death, meaning like David, you may be close to death or had a close call or even the loss of a loved one. It means on the other side of the valley, there's something good that is waiting for you. Jesus went before us. He didn't just go through the valley of the shadow of death. He actually went through death itself. And on the other side, there was the greatest supernatural, miraculous event in history called the resurrection, which changed everything, promising us life and victory to all who place their faith in him. Are you catching the picture here? We've got the shepherd. We've got Jesus out before us. He has in his hands got the rod, the staff. There's with him for protection and for direction as we go on our way. You and I are following. We read, he's leading us to a banquet. Says, you prepare a table before me. But something's following us in our journey, in our pathway today. Did you notice what it was? We read it. We sang about it. It's two ladies named Shirley. Shirley Goodness and Shirley Mercy will follow me all the days of my life. If the Lord is my shepherd, I will be pursued by goodness and mercy. Deserve it or not, and we do not, God's goodness will be bestowed upon you. Why? It's not because I'm good. It's because he is good. God's goodness is given to you, and you get to have an ongoing relationship with Jesus. Mercy, sometimes translated as loving kindness in your translations, is getting what we do not deserve, but instead we're recipients of grace. Now, if you're saved today, if you have Jesus in your heart and a home in heaven, you are saved by grace through faith. And if you're walking with Jesus today, it is also by grace through faith, the grace that he has given us so that we might be able to have that relationship with him. Now, remember our first point. If the Lord is my shepherd, I will not turn away. And then we kind of added, very far and not for long, if we stray. Here's the reason why. Here's the truth from the Bible. If you're in the family of God, the Shepherd King will be with you if and when you stray. His goodness and mercy will be at work to bring you back. You remember the parable that was told about the shepherd who left the 99 sheep in order they might go, he might go after the one. It's a parable about going after the lost. Jesus is the shepherd that goes after the lost. Well, if Jesus would go all that trouble in order that he might be able to save someone who is lost, would he not also go after the saved who strayed off the path? Can I tell you today that if you've strayed, if you're not following like you should, Jesus is not giving up on you. Goodness and mercy are pursuing you, not giving up your family member or friend. Some translations actually say goodness and mercy will pursue you all the days of your life. He's prepared a table before you, the presence of your enemies. Anointed your head with oil, a sign of hospitality. Your cup overflows more than we can imagine. Some have seen this as a metaphor for a future event, the banquet that we're going to be able to have in heaven. Jesus referred to that similar kind of event in the future. But today, Jesus wants you to be able to know and experience the joy and the hope and the love available to all those who are his sheep. While all who are opposed to Christ, what did it say? In the presence of my enemies, all those who are opposed to Christ, watch. True enemies are not flesh and blood, but the spiritual rulers, principalities of this world. 2 weeks ago on our Wednesday night topical study, we talked about angels. So this past week, we talked about devil and his demons. James says, even the demons believe and they tremble. Don't you know that the last thing that the devil wants to see is the sheep of God growing in their faith, in their love for one another, in their hope, and increasing their joy? In one of our mission trips to Africa, we went with, met our friends who are serving there. We did a camp for orphans, 54 orphans. Now, I'd consider the part in which we were in, this is kind of the bush of Africa. There is no orphanage. These are just 54 kids that our friends who are serving there had identified, who either had been abandoned or their mom and dad had died and they were living with relatives or whoever might would take them in. And we did a week-long camp for them. About the second day of camp, I noticed peering through the trees and looking over the fence were lots of young eyes that were watching. And kids had come from the nearby village or villages, and they were watching us do this camp for these 54 orphans. And I remember one day I told my missionary friend, I said, "Oh, I wish we could do for all of the kids." I remember he said, "It's okay this time. These 54 orphans, they're the poorest of the poor." So they're looked down upon, they're spit upon, they're shunned even by the other kids. They said, "We're trying to get it so that they'd be able to go to school. They have to have a uniform to go to school." So we bought the material and we took them to the village seamstress. When he asked who they were for and we told him, he said, "Well, take that material and throw it in the corner over there." He said, "I'll get to it if I can." He said, "This is one of the only times in life those kids who are looking on the fence would want to be like these kids. And we're going to tell them how important they are. We're going to tell them that Jesus loves them. We are like those orphans. We were the poorest of the poor because of our sin. Sheep without a shepherd, without hope, until Christ called us to himself and became our good shepherd. He invites us now to his table in the presence of our enemies. And if this thing is working right, he's our good shepherd. We're following him. We're growing in love and faith and obedience. There will be eyes that will be watching, both young and old. And if this thing is working right, what we will do is we'll be able to invite them. Jesus will invite them to his table and we'll tell them about Jesus as well." There's a poem called Psalm 23 Antithesis. It goes something like this. "The clock is my dictator, I shall not rest. It makes me lie down only when exhausted. It leads me into deep depression, it hounds my soul. It leads me in circles of frenzy for activity's sake, and even though I run frantically from task to task, I'll never get it done. For my ideal is with me, deadlines and my need for approval, they drive me. They demand performance from me beyond the limits of my schedule. They anoint my head with migraines, my in-basket overflows. Surely fatigue and time pressures shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the bonds of frustration forever." Well, which of these two songs, poems, Psalm 23 or Psalm 23 Antithesis, which one represents your life right now? Which one would you rather represent your life? You know, you can decide today, "I want Jesus to be my Savior and my Shepherd. If Jesus is my Savior, I will go to heaven. Jesus is my Savior, I will go to heaven one day in the future." That you can be assured of. If you have asked Jesus to be your Savior and Lord, asking to forgive you of your sins, we know that our destination and our home is secure. We will be forever with him in heaven because God's word says it's true. Psalm 23, verse 6, the very last phrase that we read is, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." From Psalm 23 and verse 6 to John 3:16 to Revelation chapter 22, Jesus is in the forever business. And if you do not know Jesus as Savior, as Lord today, call on him today so that you can be sure that your future is secure. If you're here today, listening today, before you leave this place, before this hour is done, ask Christ to forgive you of all of your sins. Ask Christ to come in and be your Savior and Lord, and let him do the changing that needs to take place. If Jesus is your Savior, you'll go to heaven in the future. If Jesus is my shepherd, I will participate in heavenly business in the present. Listen to this verse in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Watch what happens when Jesus becomes your shepherd. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. See, I told you he was the great shepherd. By the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Again, if Jesus is not your Savior, you want to call upon him today. If Jesus is not your shepherd, and if you're saved, he is your shepherd, you just may not be following closely today. But if Jesus is not your shepherd, if you're not following closely today, you want to follow him. You can. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that we can come and hear from your word. We thank you that you have inspired David to write this psalm. Greatest of all literature of psalms and hymns that have been written. We pray, Father, that we might be encouraged today because we've read about it, sung about it, talked about it. We pray today, Father, that we may follow ever more closely that you've given encouragement from the truth of your word. We pray, Father, for those who may not know you today, that today might be the day of salvation because they recognize that there's a heaven to be had and that there's a relationship that begins now. We thank you, Father, and we pray that we may be a people that continue to point people to Christ. We may do this thing correctly so that other people are watching and they'll want to be a part of what God is doing. We lift up these prayers in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Would you please stand? We'll be singing our song of commitment today. We encourage you to follow the Lord's direction in your life. If you're looking for a church home, this is one way you can still join. Yeah, I'll be down here at the front. Gus will be down here at the front. If you want to become part of Parkway, you just come let us know. You want to become a member of Parkway, and we'll tell you the next steps from there. If you need to make a decision that has to do with faith, giving your heart and life to Jesus, maybe you already have, but you need to come for baptism, make it public today, you can come and do that today. If you'd like to come and pray with us, pray on the altar today, you can do that as we sing together. You come as the Lord leads.